Hey everybody, it's Jen. Welcome back to Java and Genuflections. So, I recently had a scare. And I want to talk to you guys about it. I have been having a lot of GI issues. And my doctor is very thorough. And he said, let's go ahead and send you for a CAT scan. And he did like the full abdomen, which is unusual. You know, I mean, he went from stem to stern, which is fantastic. This CAT scan caught the lower lobes of my lungs. And I was able to access the report before my physician could call and give me the information. So I read the report and it said scattered mild emphysema. Now, as you can imagine, I flipped the fork out. It was not good. Scattered mild emphysema. It's not something that you want to see. So, there was nothing GI. It was that. Scattered mild emphysema. And I kept going back. When you read something bad or you get bad news, you can't always focus. And that's why if you're going to the physician, oftentimes it's good to take somebody with you and record it. So I was reading it by myself. So I read it several times. And one time I went, you know, I'm like, okay, so it's well-defined, radiolucent. I'm just all these different little details. And I'm panicking, like full on panicking. I was having waves of panic attacks and I didn't even try to contact my doctor at first. And I really don't know why. He's receptive. He would have responded right away. But I was in the midst of, it was not good. I actually was anxious to the point that I took some clonazepam. I mean, I was very, very anxious, unable to sleep. I mean, it was bad. Of course, it didn't prevent me from eating. Don't be ridiculous. And I got to thinking about the fact, and oh my God, I looked at Dr. Google. Why? I mean, seriously, I guarantee you, no matter what it is, if you Google it, it will tell you that you are dying. And when I Googled scattered mild emphysema, it said I had 5 years to live. I mean, I went from 0 to 100 wrapped around a tree in no time. It was bad. So then I started talking to people and they're like, oh, you know, my mom got diagnosed with emphysema and she was dead within 2 years. Or my dad got diagnosed with emphysema and he lived for another 15, but it was terrible. And I had lost all ability to think or be logical. And I would go from, and all of this, by the way, I'm not, when I'm upset, I don't like carry on anymore. I really, especially if I'm sincerely really upset, my family knows my tells. Like I will twist my hair around my finger, but I won't like verbalize, oh my God, I'm terrified, I'm going to die. Okay. There are times that I do say those things, but if it's like legitimately bad, I keep my mouth shut, you know, because saying it, you know, validates it and gives it some truth. And I'm just not saying that stuff out loud. So in my mind, things are going horribly. Finally, I call my best friend and we're talking it through a little bit. I told my brother never reacts to anything. My brother has like the flattest of all the flat affects. And nothing really ruffles his feathers. He's been a paramedic since the earth cooled. He's seen everything. He's done everything. And he doesn't say that. You know, I mean, he's not arrogant. It's just he has a lot of experience. So he's like, it'll be all right. It's fine. When I told him about this, he was actually concerned. And I'm like, if my brother's concerned, are you kidding me? My brother's concerned. Holy shoo, what are we going to do? I went through days of Jen, you know, dial it in. You're breathing fine. Well, I have actually had wheezes over the past few months. I've had quite a few issues of wheezes. I don't have anything else, but just, you know, wheezes. And I've had to use my inhaler, and I have asthma. What is called adult onset asthma, which as far as I know is code for emphysema. I don't know. But I've had to use my inhaler, you know, every once in a while. Definitely get short of breath doing certain activities, you know, going around. And have woke up short of breath in the middle of the night. So, it's, you know, and then you see that on your report. That's discomforting. That's not good. But I just went, you know, full ham on this and was in the dark place. And part of me would try to be, like, I was exercising the other day. And I'm like, a person with emphysema could not be doing this workout. Okay. Seriously. You have to think about it. But then I go and I run up the stairs and I'm like huffing and puffing at the top, which I understand how that works too. That does not mean I have emphysema. It doesn't mean that I have a lung problem. It doesn't mean that I have a cardiac problem. It means that I don't exercise at the top of my ability often enough. It means that I stay in my little safe workout zone and don't challenge myself often enough. Just like little kids can run, fall down and get up and run. And they can bolt upstairs and they can do those things. Adults can't do that because we don't do that. So when we go and do that, we're like, it's bad. You can't do something. You lose the ability to do something because you stopped doing it, not because you have emphysema. And I have to put in my disclaimer, not a doctor, not even a licensed paramedic anymore. You have to go see a doctor. So anyway, I was analyzing all of my little symptoms and my things that are going on, and I was convinced it was going to be bad. And frankly, some of it is bad. I mean, I am fatter than fat. And if you want to be fat, that's fine. I don't care. I am fat and to a point where, as adorable as I still am and as sexy as I still am, my weight is interfering with my ability to breathe. This fat is pushing up on my diaphragm. That's not good. And the CAT scan showed that I have fatty infiltrates everywhere. I've got a fatty pancreas. Who ever heard of a fatty pancreas? I've got fatty liver. I've got a fatty pancreas. And I have an umbilical hernia that is filled with fat. There's fat everywhere. This whole region that we're talking about, I have named Laverne. If you guys listen, you guys know that I've named my abdominal fat area in my liver Laverne. Because I am so fat that the middle of my body is the size of a small child. And I don't mean an infant. I mean, I'm talking like a first grader here. So I've named my midsection Laverne because I am just fat. It's bad. And I am not fat shaming at all. I am saying that my excess weight is creating problems for me. I am very confident in how I look. I'm seriously, I am banging, and that's just how it is. I look good, except for when I don't. But I do. I look good, but I'm fat, and it's unhealthy. I'm fat in an unhealthy way, okay? So there you go. That is what it is. So I've been just going through it with these results. And so I messaged my doctor. I'm sure he loves me. Because my message said this. Emphysema, all caps, ? That was it. That is what I sent my physician. Emphysema, send. I didn't hear back from him for a few days. And that gave me plenty of time, you know, to worry, be concerned, and to learn a little bit about, you know, exercising and stuff. And I decided, I'm like, look, if I do, God forbid, have COPD of some form, I have to start exercising. I need to start exercising anyway. I have been exercising, but I went too hard and then I was too tired. And I was going to the gym, but nobody there wears a mask. And we have this, what is it? What's it called? Decatron, Omicron variant that's making everybody sick. The people are out wiling out, raw dogging there anyway. So I can't go to the gym. So I found this workout series on YouTube. The first day I did the full 30 minutes and I was down for the count for almost a week. So now I've been doing just portions of it. And the slogan that they have up in the back of the video is progress, not perfection. And the guy is actually just not irritating, which is a nice change of pace. I mean, these videos are really good. They're really easy for me to do without getting irritated. What does this guy say? So I do a low impact home cardio workout. We don't want to listen to that. Low impact fat burning cardio workout from home from the Body Project. That's who it is. It's the Body Project. And there's 1.87 million subscribers. And I mean, it works. It's great. The guy's not at all irritating. And it's set up so that, you know, you're doing your little program. I don't go the same speed as they do in the video. I go at my own speed. There's a couple of the movements that I can't do because my arms aren't working very well right now. And so I'll just kind of march in place or whatnot and do what I can. And then you get to a point in the video and he says, okay, you're a silver medalist. You did great. You're done. And if you want to go for the gold, we're going to keep going. I've been a silver medalist a few times now, I have to say. And it's, you know, I really like it. And I can actually function for the rest of the day and the next day. And it's not bad. So I would absolutely recommend this. I found him on YouTube, the Body Project on YouTube. Really like it. I don't know. Seems so far so good. Really simple movements that aren't hard to do, at least in the video that I've done. I don't like anything that's really complicated, and I don't like to feel like an idiot in my own home. So, yeah, it's worked out great, and I'm motivated because I want to feel better. I want to be more fit, right? So back to the emphysema issue. When you switch physicians or practices or medical groups, things can get lost. And so it makes it hard to compare imagery side by side. Okay. So I started out going to Methodist Health Systems. Great, great group, great hospital. I was going to Methodist forever. I followed my physician over to what was then Allegiant. My physician left Allegiant and went to a practice called Think Whole Person Healthcare, THINK, Whole Person Healthcare. Standalone facility, not associated with a hospital. Really great. I mean, I got really good care there, and I really liked the environment and the setup. The only practitioner that I have that is still there is my psychiatrist. I left and came back to CHI. I had, Allegiant became CHI. My rheumatology practice has been Allegiant CHI this whole time. And I love my rheumatologist, Joseph Nejas, here in Omaha, Nebraska. He is phenomenal. And so is Not a Scoff. Fantastic. And so when I was doing that moving around, obviously you sign over the paperwork for your records to follow you. Well, for reasons unknown to me, any images that I had had done at Think didn't follow. So when it came time for like a repeat mammogram, there was like a giant missing space where they didn't have anything to compare it to. And CHI does all of their mammograms in 3D. And I was not aware of it, and I should have been. The Think only does like the old school 2D, I think is whatever it is. The Think ones are very basic, and the CHI ones are like the highest level available. And so when I started having issues, they had to recreate my old mammograms. You know, they had to basically convert it to this new technology to be able to compare them side by side. Well, in the shuffle, my CT scans didn't necessarily all make it over. And they did eventually find those. But not all of my chart made it over either. So when they finally compared the CT side by side, one of the deciding factors of whether or not to refer me on to pulmonology was the fact that there's no documentation of me having any symptoms of difficulty breathing. There's also not any documentation of my long history of upper respiratory infections, repeated bouts of pneumonia and bronchitis, and a collapsed lung. I mean, I have a pretty decent respiratory history, lung history. And I also have no IgA, which prevents, you know, helps stop respiratory infections. That information didn't get over. So my physician is looking at this scan and taking it as it was. They were unaware of the fact that I have what my doctors had think called adult onset asthma. And my allergy immunologist did do a pulmonary function, one pulmonary function test. But again, that's not at CHI. That's in a different facility. And so even though my new physician has, I know he's read my entire chart because he will sit there and scroll and pick stuff out. Say, really? I don't think that jives. He's like, because I can see you weighed this a year ago. And, you know, I know that you have this history from way back in the day. So the guy has read my chart. I know that he has in all of its amazing glory. But if the information isn't there, he can't read it because there's holes in my chart, right? That really is important because when I messaged him emphysema question mark, he messages me back saying these aren't new spots, that there's mild changes to spots that were already there. I'm like, wait, what? That's why when I messaged him, he didn't get back to me immediately. He went and pulled everything else and was like, these aren't new spots. That's a problem, first of all, because nobody told me there were spots. I had no idea. And I've read my entire chart, top to bottom, side to side, and back to front. And so just some information gets left out. And now the way things are set up, I can read everything online very, very fast. There's a quick turnaround time. Now I can read all of the incidentals that they find that they never used to tell people. And they're including more and more of that information with every chart now. Back in the 90s, you weren't allowed to see your own chart. And they could withhold all this information from you. And now they tell you and they write it out. And it's actually a really good thing. But I didn't know that I had had these spots. And my doctor didn't know that I have a rescue inhaler, that was provided for me at Think. And by the way, this is nothing about Think. Think is a fantastic place. I'm just giving, I probably should be using the examples of A, B, C, and D, but Lord knows I couldn't keep that straight anyway, but brain fog and everything else, I'd lose my mind. So I'm just telling you the names of these places, and they are all fantastic medical facilities that provide great care, okay? I'm actually talking about the breakdown that happens when you move from facility to facility and doctor to doctor. Okay, even though there is a system in place now that will open up access to, you know, your doctor can get on a computer, say at, you know, CHI, your doctor can, I'm typing now, can get on your computer, onto a CHI computer and pull your records from UNMC. I do have a doctor at UNMC, which is fantastic. And they can, you know, okay, well, you know, pull it from Methodist. It's all like right there. Think isn't in that system. So not everything's getting there. So I'm confident that I can go to UNMC and they can look at CHI and they can look at Methodist, but they can't necessarily look at everything. And so the information about me having some wheezes and several cases of, you know, pneumonia that were severe were lost in the translation. That information, I don't know where it went, but it wasn't there. So what that meant was, if I hadn't read my chart and asked my doctor, emphysema, ? He would not have known that I have this history. I was able to, you know, email him back. Yes, I do have this history. I take, you know, I use an inhaler once every, you know, 2 or 3 months. And that's, you know, important information. So I'm fortunately, my physician and I communicate. And he said to me, he was like, are you having symptoms? I'll send you to pulmonary for this, whatever. So it's all, you know, working out is fine. He was like, you don't have emphysema. You have a couple spots on your lungs. We'll just keep looking at them. I'll send you to respiratory. You can do the breathing tests and probably the blood gases. And then we'll have established a baseline. I know that's just like, oh, I just gave like word vomited so much information like into your laps. Here's the takeaway. This is what I want you guys to take away. When you switch physicians, make sure your entire chart goes with you. Make sure that you read your medical chart. And if you have not read your chart, go to hospital records, you know, go to the records department and get your records. And I mean, if they don't have to mail them, they'll usually do it for free. But it's a nominal charge. Get your physical record and read it. It's not thrilling, but in reading my medical record previously, I discovered that I have an abdominal tumor that nobody told me about. And then when I read my abdominal CT report, it's still there, but it's actually gotten smaller. Nobody told me that I had an abdominal tumor. I discovered it reading my chart. It was not something that was shared with me. But it's still there, and it shrank, and apparently it's fine. Which, you know, once again, I digress. That's fine. Read your chart. And when you start with a new physician and they do like that initial getting to know you visit, take the time to prepare information for going into that appointment. Make sure that they know your recent history, your long-term history, so that it is fresh in their mind and they don't have to go digging for it. My physician, I know he's read my chart because he knows entirely too much about me to have not read my chart. And it is so very, very long because I have so many wackadoo, bizarre, rare diseases, and some, you know, not so rare ones as well. But make it fairly easy and go in there and give them the condensed Reader's Digest. If you're a Gen Xer, you'll get that version of this. You know, this is what I have. You know, I should have told him I use a rescue inhaler from time to time. With everything that I have, it didn't occur to me that that might be important information. More of these things will come out as you get tested and you read your chart and, you know, you bring things up. But you have to build a relationship with your physician where, you know, you can send them a message that says emphysema, ? Send. You need that level of relationship with your physician where you can just be politely blunt. And you can have a dialogue of about, you know, I do have these things and I do need to go forward, and that they will listen to you and send you for the appropriate testing. I don't know how many times I had diagnoses that were missed because they didn't have all of the pertinent information. Now, I'm not saying that you should just keep the same healthcare system. That's not what I'm saying. It is perfectly fine to move from system to system to system. That is not a big deal. But you have to do your diligence, do your due diligence to make sure that that information actually follows you and that it is accurate. Now, I wish I had known about these spots on my lungs a lot sooner. Maybe I just would have worried too much. I don't know. But this is what I do know from my panicked Dr. Google research. Once a person, generally people are diagnosed with emphysema in stage 2 or 3. By the time the majority of people are diagnosed, according to various things on Dr. Google, people go from diagnosis to death in 5 years because they get diagnosed too late. Because emphysema is silent until you lose about 50% of lung capacity. 50%. Because, you know, we are designed by whomever with multiple lung lobes, and they do the extra work. So you're not going to necessarily notice until it's bad. So I am very, very fortunate that this scan showed these spots, because now everybody is going to be, first of all, I'm going to go get more testing, find out if I have like pre-emphysema symptoms, you know, get a baseline so that they can see if it's, you know, progressing, how rapidly it's progressing, because there are treatments that can be done that slow the progression of COPD and emphysema, but they have to know that you have it. And you're not going to present symptoms until you're halfway to the finish line. And that's, you know, not a race that you want to win. So I have been given a tremendous gift that these spots were found. And now I'm going to go get more testing. And my hope is that by listening to this, you guys will do a few different important things, including to what I've already listed, or in addition to what I've already listed. And after the break, I'm going to give you some more ideas of what you can do to stay safe. So, what is lung cancer screening? Well, based on information from clevelandclinic.org, lung cancer screening is a test to detect lung cancer early before symptoms develop. People between the ages of 50 and 80 with a 20-pack year smoking history should consider screening every year. The screening uses a low-dose CT scan, is quick, painless, and could save your life. Some of the requirements are ages 50 to 80, current smokers or once, you know, smokers who have quit within the last 15 years, and tobacco history of at least 20-pack years and no signs or symptoms of lung cancer. 20-pack years is the equivalent of 1 pack per day for 20 years or 2 packs a day for 10 years. So the more you smoke, the higher your pack history is. I smoked, and I'm not going to count like the windows, you know, where I had quit. I smoked from like 16 to 20-ish and then picked it up again when I was like 22, 23. Smoked until I was pregnant with my son at 30. Didn't pick it up again for a couple years after that. And I'm not going to take those years out of my pack year history because there's just no point. And then from like 35 to 45. So that's a lot. And I was not a pack a day smoker. I was a half a pack a day to sometimes three quarters of a pack a day smoker because cigarettes were so expensive and I rationed them. And I'm sure people are going to be like, well, if you could ration them, why couldn't you just quit? It was a coping mechanism. I didn't have mechanisms to deal with my anxiety and stress and things like that. So I used cancer sticks. I mean, I know some people get offended, but that's basically what cigarettes are, is cancer sticks. So what should you do? Obviously, try to get some help with stopping smoking. There's medications that are available. I think there's support groups. I don't know. I think there are. Contact the Lung Association and ask for help. But generally speaking, your physician is a good place to start. So when I got my diagnosis that I had the scattered emphysema on my lungs, of course, I was like intensely frightened and went and, you know, did a lot of research and discovered that, you know, you'll hear there's no treatment for COPD. There's no treatment for emphysema. I think what's more accurate, and I'm not a doctor, is that there's no cure, because I've seen how much my father's breathing improved when he went and saw a pulmonologist and they treated him. So I think it's like anything. If you see a doctor soon enough, they can do something to help you. So please don't assume that a diagnosis of COPD, emphysema, cancer, you know, don't assume that those are death sentences and that there's no point in going, because there really is. You know, medicine is amazing and you can get a lot of help. Now, you might notice that I sound kind of short of breath, and it's not at all related to the emphysema scare or anything like that. I have been extremely ill for, I'm guessing, 2 weeks, kind of foggy as far as like how long time frame. But yeah, very, very sick. So my lung capacity is not great. And pulmonary rehab might be in my future. I'm not sure, but it is not because of my emphysema scare. I don't have emphysema. I've been to see my physician. It is because of a serious illness that I'm just still in the process of getting over. I think my recovery will be extended. So I always appreciate good thoughts and vibes from everybody. But I think I'm going to go ahead and wrap this episode up. Just make sure that you are keeping track of your medical records. Get copies for yourself. Read them. And make sure when you're switching physicians or seeing specialists that your chart follows you. Okay. Thank you so much for listening to Job and Genuflections. Really appreciate your support. My audience is definitely growing, so I think that's a great thing. Thank you so much. Bicycle. Hey, everybody. It's Jen, Job and Genuflections. I am back after a little break. So, talking about my recent emphysema, black spots on my lungs, scare, and moving from different hospital systems and how information really pertinent information can get lost in the shuffle and dropped and delay screenings and diagnoses for various different things. And I had talked about the steps for how to minimize this risk. And step one is when you're moving from one facility to another, make sure that you sign the paperwork allowing for your chart to follow you. Step two is get your chart and read it. So the reason, I mean, there's a multitude of reasons why you should get your chart and read it. Number one, I have read my chart from A to Z and found numerous mistakes about medications, allergies, history. You have to get the chart so that you can correct these mistakes, which are, you know, fairly significant. Like I had down, they had down that I was allergic to Tylenol, and I'm not, when that has made, you know, me not be able to get certain medications. And I discovered, like I said earlier, I discovered that I had an abdominal tumor that I didn't know about. And with this most recent CT scan, I discovered that I've had scattered mild emphysema in my lower lobes for who knows how long. I have no idea. And you have to get all of your chart and read it and correct it, you know, correct the errors that are on it. And I guarantee you that there are going to be some. So having your chart and reading it is very important because you can then get further screening done. Now that I know that I have these spots, I am going to be on top of it and make sure that I am getting the necessary screenings indefinitely. I'm not going to be relying on the physicians to keep track of it. I know that I have them, and so I am going to be asking about getting the necessary screenings for COPD and lung cancer on probably an annual basis, because finding these things early can mean getting cured. It can mean, and if it's not curable, you know, these things can be maintained as, you know, chronic conditions where with early intervention, they don't progress. I mean, emphysema is a progressive disease, but that can be minimized and slowed with, you know, catching it early. And I mean, that's key. I mean, that's key for anything, right? And we can't give all of this over to healthcare providers and rely on them to keep us safe. We have a responsibility to ourselves to participate fully in our healthcare, and that includes reading your chart. Now, I have advocated so many people read their chart, and I think I only know one person who's actually done it. Read your chart. I mean, you read garbage in the bathroom, right? I mean, you read stuff on your phone that doesn't really matter. Take the time to read your chart. It's very important. I think that's enough of my lecture about reading your chart. But here's some things. So if you are a smoker, please stop. And for God's sakes, whatever you do, do not vape. But as a smoker or a former smoker, you need to get screened for COPD, which includes the umbrella of emphysema, and you need to get screened for lung cancer. So there is an assessment tool called the ABCD assessment tool that combines the use of spirometry. It's called FEV1 Gold for staging airway obstruction and severity. And they use breathing tests and your hospitalization history, the number of infections that you've had, the exacerbations that you've had, and assess your risk for COPD. If you don't already have COPD or you don't have a COPD diagnosis, they can use this to diagnose COPD if you have it, to stage COPD, and to make the necessary interventions. My father has COPD, and when he was diagnosed in his mid-40s, it was very scary because he was really struggling to breathe on a regular basis. He is now 72-ish and doesn't have, I mean, he's not on oxygen and he still works. And I'm not convinced that that would have been the case if he hadn't received relatively early intervention. So a fairly, I think it's outdated, but I don't know for sure, but one tool for assessing and, you know, monitoring patients for lung cancer is annual x-rays. Well, you know, there's no real evidence that that actually decreases the number of deaths from lung cancer. And lung cancer is the second leading cause of death in men and women in the United States. And there are non-smokers who get lung cancer. So there are assessment programs available for smokers and non-smokers. And I mean, and sometimes they can be difficult to qualify for. Oh, I gotta go. Hang on.